The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Great deals on gifts and smoking accessories can be found right now at Wizards. Check out the large selection of Woodwick candles with new lower prices, vaporizers, shirts, hats, and so much more. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, here with, another round of chewing on something I've found. You see, a little tip for you, and you may already know this. I am, on occasion, I will subscribe to different newsletters, you know, stuff that comes to me via the email. And when you do that, you find that you get, you know, stuff, and then there's other stuff that comes with it. Comes in the mail, because what happens is these people that you sign up for will often sell your information to other interested parties. Here's a little tip: when you sign up for something, use a different name each time. Make a note of it somewhere. Change your name, whatever the case, but keep all your pertinent stuff the same. And you'll find out who it was that sold your information. See, now one of the things that I signed up for is an industry rag called Radio World, and it's interesting. It's targeted mostly to terrestrial radio people and the like. And it's mostly kind of an engineering hand job type thing. There's not a whole heck of a lot that goes with it, and it's clever and whatnot, and I think I've just let the subscription run out because it wasn't all that pertinent. But these people at Radio World, they sold my information to the National Association of Broadcasters, the NAB. The NAB, for the uninitiated, is a lobby group. Think of it like this: they are the NRA for radio and television people, for broadcasters. Which is all well and good. Okay, they lobby Congress. They try and work with the FCC on laws and all that sort of thing. And they try and keep themselves relevant. And much like any other lobby group, they are kind of out of touch. For example, I got wound up on their list as an interested party. For some reason, they think the NAB thinks that I am a terrestrial broadcaster because they won't recognize internet radio stations. National Association of Broadcasters is a trade organization and lobby group representing the interest of commercial and non-commercial over-the-air radio and television broadcasters in the United States. They represent more than 8,300 terrestrial radio, television stations, as well as broadcast networks. As of 2015, the president and CEO of the NAB is Gordon Smith, a former United States senator from Oregon. that's from the Wikipedia page on that. So now you know kind of what it is and what they are. Now, so I get this letter, I get this package in the mail. The NAB is about to have their conference, their annual convention, April 22nd through the 27th of this year of 2017. They do it in Las Vegas every year. It's probably an interesting thing to attend, I suppose. I would have to be in a certain frame of mind to deal with it, to be frank with you. But it came with this big brochure they spent a lot of money on, and a letter. And the letter is addressed to me, spelled my name right and everything. And they talk about what they've got coming up in this convention. And that's why I wanted to bring it up at this time around, because it kind of goes to show you just kind of, I don't know, how out of touch this lobby group is when it comes to this business of broadcast. Here are some of the things you're going to be getting into. How we can make 4K, ultra high def, and HDR more accessible to consumers and content creators. What are the best practices for building a secure cloud-based infrastructure? What is the most successful approach to monetizing live content? Really? You guys have been around this long and don't know how to do that? What are the best practices for creating virtual reality experiences? You know, because radio is just perfect for virtual reality. I could see where it might have its place, but at any rate, some of the things on this,
the 4K dilemma, how to keep the treasure away from pirates.
Premium content at the highest available resolution will be available physically and digitally on a new array of devices and even earlier distribution windows. What is being done inside this trusted execution environment of set-top boxes, smart TVs, HDMI sticks, removable media, etc. to protect, encrypt, watermark, and safeguard this valued content? This is basic stuff. This is what, I don't own a terrestrial station. I don't own an AM or FM station. I own an internet broadcasting station. And by its virtual existence, it's protected by the way that we've set it up. Here's another thing they're going to be getting into, the future of live streaming. If it weren't for live streaming, none of this would be happening. You know, that's just it. Live streaming has soared in popularity as content providers and brands have recognized how much viewers value immediacy and interactivity. Oh, imagine that. Live broadcast. These are from the same people who really push the whole voice tracking thing onto everybody. So when you listen to your favorite FM station, you're not hearing a live jock. Hardly ever.
Oh, now, oh, see, there's a real value to it now.
Major players such as Facebook, YouTube, and others investing heavily in live streaming. Rapid growth is expected.
Really? Learn how technology, business models, networks, and devices are creating a solid foundation for live streaming success.
Man, if I wound up on this list of the NAB and they want some real information, they should have brought me in. Seriously, they should have brought me in as a keynote speaker. I'd have charged them the full rate. I'd have had a time in Vegas. I'd have gotten paid for it. It'd have been big, and I could have told them everything that I know about this business that ran. I would have blown their minds. I would have absolutely flat blown their minds because they're trying to figure out how to adapt their old school methods of broadcast into the digital world.
Yeah, look at Facebook. You know, they got all the Chewbacca mom, blah, 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 blah.
Here's another one. Amazon Channel's winning formula. More than 100 different SVOD subscriptions, that's video on demand, are now just a click away for Amazon Prime members, though the company's innovative Amazon Channels service, which launched in late 2015. In this session, learn how Amazon is already playing a major role in the SVOD and content ecosystems, helping drive and retain new subscribers to high-value subscription services, gain a broader perspective of Amazon's strategic video priorities and what this means for the industry. In other words, smart TV is killing you. It's killing the it's killing you, people.
Well, who's going to want to listen? Oh, you got to keep playing the Eagle records, man, because that's all people want to hear.
Oh, eat me. And then finally, on this particular letter, there is fake news. Of course, they're getting into that.
It's an issue that concerns us all. We know why it's getting attention in 2017, but how did it advance so quickly? What exactly is fake news? We'll go in depth around the fake news issue, and we'll put our heads together in a solution-seeking workshop to look for collective answers for addressing fake news in the future.
You've got to be fucking kidding me. You guys don't know how to identify fake news? You really don't know how to, and you call yourselves journalists and news people in this industry, and you,
fake news is a problem.
You know, look, I go through probably, I don't know, anywhere from 250 to 350 pieces a day of news for content for the morning show, right? I read a ton of stuff all the time. And it's pretty simple how to identify quote unquote fake news, which is a term I hate. Thanks to that waterhead in the White House, that's what we're kind of stuck with. But it's there. It's always been there. But see, we live in a society now, when you look at things like The Onion, which is a satirical news piece and has been such for many, many years, and they're very good at it. The problem is The Onion is so good at what they do that it seems so real, because a lot of it is based in reality. That's the really twisted part of all of this. So, I mean, you got to understand, these people have to deal with what what's out there. And I don't know, they just seem so in the dark about this kind of stuff. And, you know, and look, I've only kind of glanced through a little bit of this before I turn on the mic here, and because it just came in the mail to me yesterday, I guess it was. I was sitting there looking at this stuff down at the studio, and I thought, you know, I got to put this in the old Radioland thing here, because obviously if they think of me enough to be considered a potential member of the National Association of Broadcasters, the NAB show, where content comes to life. Oh, eat me. Of course, this was dated March 10th, and I just got this, whatever today is. Register today at nabshow.com. Use a code blah, blah, blah. Save $100 on the conference flex pass, which includes access to the exhibits and so much more. I look forward to seeing you there. Sincerely, Chris Brown. Chris, you don't know who I am. Offer expires on the date that I got this. Okay, fantastic. That's freaking tremendous. Not that I was going to go. It would be interesting. You know, look, if I had the proverbial FU money, I would probably, you know, I would do this just so I could get some time in, you know, away from everything else and go sit in on some of this stuff for a moment. I would be the guy in the back of the room cackling all the way through. The NAB show is the only place where the true convergence of media, entertainment, and technology lives and thrives. Really. This is the brand new MET conference program, M-E-T, Media, Entertainment, Technology, the MET effect, only at NAB show. Uh-huh. No, you people are way out of touch.
It's the business of broadcast, digital futures exchange, online video conference, media technology business summit.
Really? I mean, all of this is pretty, you know, simple shit, I guess. But see, you got to remember the thing with this lobby group and these guys, these are people, these are middle and upper management of your major broadcast corporations. These are the Clear Channels.
It's not Clear Channel anymore, bro. It's something else.
I don't know. Put lipstick on a pig, blah, blah, blah. It's still Clear Channel. It's still the Evil Empire. You got Intercom. You got all the others. Anyway, these people that go to this are not broadcasters, okay? They like to call themselves that, but what they are, they're money men that work in this industry. They could give two hoots and a holler about what's happening down in the control room with Drew and Zippy in the morning show. That's all they don't care about that. As long as the numbers are there, they don't give a shit. Under their entertainment series, they have the Creative Master series. Oh, this ought to be big.
Go behind the scenes with the creatives and crew responsible for today's most innovative and popular feature films, TV series, and OTT experiences. Hear how they applied the latest technologies to solve workflow challenges and understand the questions they're asking to reinvent storytelling for new platforms.
Have you listened to the radio of late? Seriously, have you watched? We talked about this last week, the network television thing. Have you watched any of this shit? Have you listened to the radio? It sucks. And they're sitting here to go, well,
this is the Creative Master Series classes. Will teach you how to overcome workflow problems.
Fuck you. How about coming up with, like, innovative creativity? That would be a big thing. How about something fresh and new? For example, content strategies, the future of entertainment. This track addresses revenue strategies related to such topics as targeted advertising across viewing platforms, television content with broad appeal, as well as targeted programming, distribution technologies, video production, and tune-in promotion. How to get people to watch your shit is what that basically is. And they're also doing something on sports media. That's kind of, I don't know, kind of a moot point, really, because sports is sports. It's, you know, people are gonna, it's got an automatic audience, so there's that. Then there's the technology series, which is Broadcast Engineering Information Technology Conference, Future of Cinema, the intersection of technology, art, and commerce and cinema, satellite technology, really. Presentations and panel discussions address the role of satellites in the delivery of ultra HD content, satellite broadband technology and delivery, plus in-flight satellite entertainment and connectivity for the aviation industry. That seems about the most cutting edge thing that they got going on this deal. And then finally, the last conference track or whatever they call it, Next Generation Media Technology, Artificial Intelligence, and Cloud Innovations. Cybersecurity and all that other stuff. I don't know. It just points to a gigantic hand job.
Where the visionaries convene, where the phenomena comes to life, the new 4D leadership, a CEO power panel will be happening. Oh, Lord.
request an invitation by sending an email to blah, blah. I don't think so. Destinations and attractions to put you on top of your game. Aerial robotics and drone technology. Blah, 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 blah. This is, you know, this is what it is. It's garbage. And it's, and I wanted to bring it up because it proves, not that I'm, look, not that I'm on top of everything here. It's not like I have, you know, what do you call it? I don't see all. I don't know all. I've only done what I have. My experiences have led me to this place in time. Building Radio Memphis was a learning experience. And when I got into it, I was questioned. Do you know what you're doing? Well, no. No, I don't. I know what I want to do. And so far, I seem to have been somewhat successful with it. 6 years in, I think we've got something. Having said that, I didn't know the first thing about running the damn thing. But I did know this, which is equal, if not more important than knowing how to do it, is knowing not how to do it. That I learned. I learned that from watching that happen. You know, you spend enough time in a corporate environment, you'll learn rather quickly how not to run your business. Because it was that way with where I was at Clear Channel. They were running that corporation by accountants. They were only looking at the bottom line. They didn't give a shit about the content. They didn't give a shit about their audience development. They only wanted the money. Which is, oh, I understand that. You're in business. That's all well and good. But you're willing to make dumb decisions chasing the dollar, not knowing how this business operates. And, of course, it was heavily lopsided. The guys down the hall, the managers, the suits, those cats, those guys were, you know, they were making, you know, just piles and piles and piles of cash. And the rest of us that were doing all the work, of course, we're not making that kind of money. And it's, you know, but that's indicative to everything that happens. That's so true of wherever it is, whatever industry that you're in. And of course, when you see this stuff that comes in from the NAB, for example, you know, because every industry has its own group, you know, there's something for everybody. But for the only thing that I can speak of is through my expertise, which is in the broadcast business. When you see this stuff and what they plan on getting into, and you know, you're going to spend an ass ton of money to A, get there, get yourself a hotel, get into the convention, go sit through these guys over there just patting each other on the back and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they're all trying to lay down the biggest snow job to each other, all trying to bluff each other like it's some type of a, well, at my station, we've increased our revenue by doing dee, 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 dee. And, you know, these other guys are all trying to outdo each other. But they sit there as though they still have the wherewithal to survive this digital environment. What I see here in this stuff, this paraphernalia that was sent to me about this organization, is the fact that they really truly are not. If they are just now addressing the issues of content and are worried about piracy, seriously, you're worried about piracy of your content when you motherfuckers were stealing all that shit all this time? It's fascinating to me about how that is. How to watermark your stuff. Really? There are 9-year-olds that do that and they've got it figured out. It's easy to protect your shit. Lord have mercy. Now, according to their Wikipedia page, this group worked to establish a commercial radio system in the United States. And that system was set up in August of 1928 with the establishment of General Order 40, a radio reallocation scheme by the Federal Radio Commission, which awarded the choicest frequencies and broadcast times to the then emerging commercial radio industry. In the wake of General Order 40, a loose coalition of educators, nonprofit broadcasters, labor unions, and religious groups coalesced to oppose the NAB and their allies through the 1920s and 30s and to develop a public, nonprofit, license-funded radio system without commercials, similar to what happened with the BBC. That coalition claimed that the commercial industry would only promote profitable programming, thereby reducing the quality and future potential of radio broadcasting. This was the shit that they were dealing with back in the late 20s, early 30s. It hasn't changed much. It's just the platforms are different. Well, at any rate, going on, it says you're not having the political connections, resources, or publicity of the NAB and the commercial radio industry. The nonprofit coalition eventually lost the fight with the passage of the Communications Act of 1934. That law is what governs broadcast today. Now, it's been amended heavily over the years, and it's had to come up with different things. But see, you got to remember, the Communications Act of 1934 does not control people like Radio Memphis. They can't touch it. The National Independent Broadcasters, formed in 1939 as part of the NAB to represent stations that were not associated with any network, but the group split off in 1941. Other critical moments of this, many satellite radio enthusiasts have criticized the NAB for lobbying against legislation approvals for those services. The NAB protested the FCC's approval of both satellite radio services in the United States, XM and Sirius, and furthermore criticized the 08 merger of those two companies, calling the merged company a potential monopoly, which it is. It is absolutely what that is. And, you know, it goes on. If you want to read more about it, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and do the whole thing with you, but the National Association of Broadcasters, just do a search of that, and you can see what this, I don't know, these pretend radio cowboys are all about. Because that's what it is. That's what these guys are. They're out of touch. They think that they've got what, you know, because they've got Congress, and they can go in and they got the FCC, and they can get whatever they want. See, this is where it's going to get really weird. Over the next, I'd say probably, and I'm estimating here, but probably over the next, I don't know, 6 to 8 years, somewhere in there, you're going to be hearing a lot more about the National Association of Broadcasters when they try and lobby Congress to find a way to save their ass, to save the FM radio industry. That's what's going to happen, because it's dying. It is dying horribly. We've talked about this before, and you know it is. And what's killed it, it wasn't the internet that killed it. What killed FM and AM radio was the lack of content and the lack of reliable, good content. That's what killed it. There was nothing substantial to be offered to the listening public. So what did they do? They developed, the public itself developed its own product for its own consumption. Hence internet radio, hence streaming television, hence Roku, Netflix. Look at that. Amazon, hell, they got a thing with Amazon, and they're eyeballing it because Amazon is successful. Jeff Bezos figured it out. And they figured out a proper way to do this. And now the NAB is looking at it and go, well, what can we learn from this? What can we do? So when it comes down to it, and it'll happen, it's already happened in some other countries. Where I guess it was in Sweden or Norway, somewhere over there, the Scandinavians, they decided, one of the countries, had decided to shut down their AM and FM systems. Turn them off. Nobody was listening to them. Everybody in that country, just about everybody, about 95% of those people were listening to their content through their devices, through their phones, through their laptops, through their tablets, through their computers, whatever they had. They're ahead of the curve. It's happening more and more. Just last week, we mentioned the signing off of a radio station in Chattanooga. It's final go-around. An AM station. You're going to start seeing more and more of that. And now the NAB, to protect itself, is going to jump in. They're going to start lobbying Congress, and they're going to, mark my words, they will stick their hands out and say, bail us out. Give us government money to keep the industry alive. Because we were too stupid to not learn to adapt. One of the things Clear Channel did that really effed themselves over was take away the identities of all of their own radio stations. So when they put out their big app, well, you know, was it iHeartRadio or whatever the fuck they called that stupid thing? They put all of the stations on there. So when you opened up the app, then you got to go search and find whatever one you want. Oh, you want classic rock? Well, try this one. And, you know, you could find the one you wanted, but still, their goal was at the time, I don't know if it's the case anymore, but their goal was ultimately, and it may still well hold true here, that they wanted to eliminate all of their terrestrial stations, right? So on their app, they would have all of the formats, But they would have one station for each of those formats and a set of jocks voice tracking every one of those shows. There'd be no studios, per se. There'd be no, I don't know, no headquarters. There'd be no identity. There would be nothing. Because they feel that the most important thing you have to have is another Boston record. Another Boston song. Yeah, Sib Hashian passed away, former drummer of Boston. That's why I mentioned it, because I made the joke on Twitter. I guess there really is a certain amount of times you could hear more than a feeling. It didn't go well. I'm sure I've upset a few people with that. But, you know, look, goddammit, I'm just as sick of it as the next guy. But that's just it. They don't understand that. They don't understand that the content themselves, or the lack of it, is what has done them in. Out of 8,300 terrestrial radio and television stations, right, in this country alone, I can't think of any real standout shows. Not anymore. Not anymore. They're gone. They've left. They fired them all. They laid them all off, or they killed them. They did something. And yet, later on this month, they're going to be meeting in Las Vegas and talk about the exciting new world of podcasting. That's in there. I don't have it right in front of me. Where is it? There was something in here about, they used the words, exciting new world of podcasting. Oh my God, yeah, there's another thing in here. They're going to be previewing the findings of the 2017 Big Broadcast Survey. Oh, I'd like to have seen that. I can only imagine how out of touch that was. Oh, but yeah, the emerging world of podcasting. It's only been around now for a while, and it's become a juggernaut. Notwithstanding this show, but still, it's a big industry. And now they're trying to figure it out. How do we survive against all of this? We got 12-year-olds on YouTube with 20 million views. How can we get on some of that? So, and that's where it turns into something really kind of sick and twisted, where you've got old people. I'm talking about outside of the 18 to 34 demo. You got these people, guys in my age bracket, that are trying to act hip and cool. They're trying to act like their demo. That's a big mistake. You can never do that. Just be yourself. That's the number one rule of any broadcaster. But you're going to have these guys try that. We got to have Snapchat. Yeah. What the fuck does CBS need with Snapchat? They advertise it all the time. I don't have Snapchat because I'm over 25. I don't need it. But still, we got to go where the kids are. We got to be like the kids. Hey, kids, here's what's really cool. And you look like idiots doing it. And then you wonder why people are laughing at you. They're not laughing with you. They're laughing at you. You look ridiculous. Stop it. It's no wonder that over the course of time in this country, when you have a lobby group, I don't care what it is, the lobby group ultimately kills the thing they're trying to protect. They smother it. Because they want to, pardon the phrase, make America great again, or make the industry great again, or whatever, however you want to twist that shit around. There's no sense of forward movement. They're too busy looking behind them and say, well, God, this podcasting thing, my kids are really all into this thing, and I don't understand what's going on. We need to get into this too, because it deals with microphones and stuff. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like is going on in these people's heads. And it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It's, oh my God, these people. Oh, thank God they're in Vegas. Because if it weren't for the hookers and the liquor, there'd be no way anybody with any type of sense of sensibility could sit through some shit like this.
You can now learn guitar in a structured manner online and do it at your pace. From absolute beginners to advanced players, the New York City Guitar School can get you on the right path on guitar proficiency for less than $30 a month. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com and get started today. And right now, there's even a free course called Guitar Hacks for Beginners you can take to see if this course is even right for you. Look at their ad at radio-memphis.com right now and get started.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Local radio just doesn't have news. They claim to have it, but there's nothing local about it. If I had the wherewithal at Radio Memphis, I would bring in a couple of reporters and build our own local news thing. And that would be all it would be, is straight up local Memphis news or Memphis and Mid-South news. Because it's grossly underserved. And it's even getting worse now because newspapers like our own Commercial Appeal are busy letting everybody go because they can't justify keeping these people around because the money's not there. The money's not there because they can't sell the advertisement space in the paper or online. They can't sell that space because nobody's subscribing to the newspaper. Well, they don't subscribe to the newspaper because the quality has gotten bad. And now it becomes a complete circle.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Well, I can tell you where I won't be in April. April, what is it? April 22nd through the 27th in Las Vegas, Nevada. I will not be at the NAB show. I don't think I could put up with it. But I tell you what, I will be here, hopefully. God willing, the creek don't rise. I'll be around and such as that. So, you know, with that in mind, let's have some fun, shall we? Let's get into some music. I ran into these guys just the other day in the studio. They were on one of our other shows, and they were in there doing an interview, and it's always good to see these guys. Wonderful, wonderful human beings. They've got several projects in the works, and one of their main projects is this act I'm going to play for you now. The Chinese Connection Dub Embassy. These guys are they're very well loved and liked here in the Memphis and Mid-South area. A lot of guys they have huge shows. It's a big deal when these guys show up to play. They're fantastic, lovely fellows. Chinese Connection Dub Embassy. It's a little reggae, kids. The song, it's called Tyrant. And here it is from Radioland.
Tyrant. tyrant, 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 tyrant. I recall some great men, they were slain over again. Remember Malcolm X, remember Martin Luther. Christ, they were slain by tyrants, 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 tyrants. Tyrant, 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 tyrant.
Tyrant, Chinese Connection Dub Embassy here from Radioland. It's a song that's in regular rotation at Radio Memphis. If you're in the area, go find them. Go find where they play, man. And they wind up putting like 40 people on stage every time. It's just it's a huge, huge thing. And these guys are also working up a rock act, which is I can't wait for these guys to get into a studio and record this stuff. The act is called Negro Terror, and I've heard a lot of really cool things about that. They've played a couple of shows I've missed, but from my understanding, they've gone from this, they're still doing the reggae stuff, but they've gone into this kind of a rock punk metal type vibe thing there with that act. So I'm looking forward to hearing some stuff. And when we get some Negro Terror music in here, we'll get them on. How about that? So there you go. So you've heard what's coming up next time. And with that, I'm off. Got places to go, things to do. Go sit there and worry about the NAB, I guess. I guess. I don't know what the hell. Such as it is. If you're part of that, if you're sitting there listening to this and you're scratching your head going, I don't understand what this guy's all upset about. I don't get it. You know, we're trying to save everybody's industry. Go fuck yourself. You're not trying to save shit. You know, you're killing yourselves. You're trying to save your bank. That's all you're trying to do. Step out of the way. Let the rest of us that are in touch with the audience give them what they want. That's the key. That's all there is to it. It's just that simple. So on that, I'm done. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.